Well, I guess for the next little bit, I want to share something with you that is on my heart. If you have your Bible, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's quite a bit of reading that I want to do with you, but I have to kindly read it all for it to make sense. When I was looking back through this, I was trying to look in sections of this chapter, and it all follows kind of a sequence, and it was not one of those things that you could tear apart necessarily without reading all of it. So anyway, if you have your scripture again, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul again is writing this to the Corinthian church. He was telling them in a sub-thought for the chapter is to never give up. We cannot give up. We're too close home. We're too near the finish line now to give up. Somebody say amen right there. We're too close home. And Paul was writing this to this Corinthian church. Writing these words, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man, conscious in the sight of God. Verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. We are not distressed. We talked about de-stress and all of that a couple of weeks ago, last week. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Somebody say amen. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. We're going to heaven, folks. This is not the end of the journey. This is not our home. And we see this in this reading. He says in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. I read all of that to get to verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Stretch your hands and pray for me. Father, I give you glory. I give you praise. I give you all the honor, God, that belongs to you. And Father, as we open this service tonight, Father, I pray, oh God, even now that you, Father God, would touch us in this service today. Father, I pray, God, that you would give us eyes of understanding, faith, God, tonight, to look beyond what we've ever seen before, to look unto Jesus afresh and to see him in all of his glory. Father, I pray, God, that this congregation tonight and those that's watching online would hear what this message is saying tonight, God. For Lord, it's not just by accident that, God, this is in my heart tonight. Lord, you're speaking to us. And God, I know tonight that I cannot do this without you. And Lord, I do know that with you all things are possible. So Lord, we believe you tonight. We trust you tonight. And we ask you, oh God, even now to open up our eyes of our understanding. And God, I bless you and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look back at verse number 18, Paul again is writing this. And Paul is saying, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I didn't plan it this way, but it just sort of happened this way. When I got over this morning singing with Nora that particular song that we were singing, Yonder in Glory, whatever it was, all of a sudden, it's like all the lines on the page, even as I'm standing here now, that my eyes were blurry, and I couldn't capture the words. So I didn't even know I was going to do all that when I was working on this earlier. But when things get blurry, we cannot see clearly. We don't know where we're going. We'll bump into things. We'll run into the car in front of us if you're not careful. A blurry vision is a dangerous thing. I took someone to the doctor the other day and they dilated their eyes. And on the paperwork, it said, bring a driver. Your eyes will be blurry. You will not be able to see clearly. I don't know if that's where this sort of got down into my heart or not. But I'm talking about the church today because this scripture says in this latter part of verse 18, for the things which are seen are temporal. Paul even said in another place that we look through a glass darkly. On this side of eternity, when we think about heaven, when we think about Jesus, when we think about streets of gold, and we think about gates of pearl, and we think about the elders and all the apostles that are already casting their crowns, if you will, before his throne, crying, holy, holy, holy. All of that is nothing but a blur to us right now. It's nothing more than just something that we believe will take place at some point along the line. I begin to think about vision. I begin to think about seeing things, and I begin to think about tools that we have today that we might be able to see things. I have a pair of binoculars that I bought several years ago, and my goal was to do nothing more with these binoculars than to look at birds. You may not be a bird watcher, but I thoroughly enjoy watching birds. I don't do it a lot as I did then. But I got a thrill out of just watching the nature of a bird and his movements and watching what they were doing. I know I'm different. I understand that. But I bought these binoculars, and they're really a high-powered binocular. And the bird could be way on down the driveway or somewhere, and I could actually tune those things in and see if that bird actually had an insect or something in its mouth. And it was remarkable when you were able to get a better view of something that you were trying to learn about. No doubt in history we see how that doctors now, and again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not the son of a doctor, and I'm not a scientist and things of that nature, but sometimes I do like to look things up and learn a little bit about them. So with very high-tech microscopes today, it's one of those things that they call a, it's called a transmission electron microscope. And I was reading about this, and this particular microscope is so minute that they can actually go in and they can begin to see individual atoms in the nuclei of a cell, and they can actually, through this particular microscope, begin to take an atom apart. Take an atom apart so that they can actually go deeper into the nuclei and into the parts of the atom to actually, and this is really good information for those of us that are following COVID these days, they can take this microscope and tear it apart and begin to identify the different viruses and what's causing those things. And they're getting a different view. They're getting a view of something that without this instrument, they would never be able to see beyond what our natural eye can see. Not only that, there's this thing somewhere out there in orbit. Somebody besides Alan Green would have to come and tell you a whole lot about it that I didn't study a whole lot about it. I don't never plan on seeing it or going there. It's called a Hubble telescope. And they tell us that they can see galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies upon millions and trillions of stars that are actually far above the Earth even right now. And with these instruments, they've been able to see things that our natural eye cannot see. So tonight, this message is looking beyond the view. And the reason that I looked at it this way is because the Bible teaches us in the Scripture that we read to you, because the things that we look at right now are only temporary. And if we are not very, very careful in our faith today, our faith will be so minute and our faith will be so little that we will not be able to really get a glimpse of what God is wanting to do through us and in our lives if we restrict God to only what humanity can understand. When I begin to think about this, of course, there's 100 different scriptures that we could actually go to talking about this whole element of going beyond the view or looking beyond the view this evening. To be able to see Jesus and to be able to see Christ, if you will, in a brand new light or a brand new understanding. The Bible reminds us that eye hath not seen nor near ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Now I'm going to step away from this outline a minute and just preach a second. Because I began to think about this afternoon as I was trying to get a minute or two reprieve sitting on the couch. I began to think, Brother Russell, of heaven. I began to think about Jesus. I began to think about in a land beyond where we're at right now. There are worshipers and there are the things that God had promised to those that Jesus said in the Word, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know about you, but beyond the view, beyond the veil right now that you and I have, my friend, there is a land, if let me use the word, the Old Testament word, there is a land of milk and honey. Somebody say amen. There is a land that God has prepared for you and I. Here's the catch. If we only focus on the here and now, we will miss the there and then. I believe it takes a little bit of both. But here's the thing. In Hebrews 11 and 1, the Bible is actually telling us, when you open up the book of Hebrews, it is faith's hall of fame. It talks about faith here. And it talks about now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Heaven is the substance. Heaven is what we're hoping for. We're not there yet, but we're believing by faith. We're looking through a glass darkly. The things that we see now are temporary, but God has promised us through the Word that He has gone to prepare a place. I'm staking my faith this evening on the things that God has promised. I've got to look beyond now. I've got to look beyond the view. I've got to look beyond only what I can see now to be able to grasp the promises of what Jesus has said in His Word. If we look at only now, my friend, we will surely be stopped. We will be stumped, if you will. And the Bible says the evidence of things not seen. We have not seen yet. Eye hath not seen yet. Ear hath not heard yet, neither have we been able to grasp fully in our heart the things that God has prepared for you and for me. When I begin to read throughout the Scripture, there's many people mentioned throughout these particular verses of Scripture. And in it says in verse number 8, I'm going to skip over a lot of it and sort of go back around full circle in a few minutes. But this Scripture, it talks about this man in verse number 8. His name is Abraham. All of us know Abraham, the father of many nations. The Bible says that Abraham's seed would be as the sand of the earth, if you will. But Abraham, it mentions Abraham. And Abraham was one to be called to do something that in the eyes of humanity would not be able to accomplish. Take Isaac, he says there in Genesis, take Isaac, your son, not only your son, but your only son. He's the son of promise. How can I take the thing you gave me and do what you told me to do with it? Somehow or another, Abraham knew that God would make a way. When we see Abraham in the Scripture, it says that when you open it up in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was promised to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. He did not know whether he went. Let me just put another little nugget in right there. You and I have been promised heaven as believers. We're not there yet. Abraham was promised the land. He wasn't there, but he had enough faith to believe, put his trust in God, that God would get him there. You and I today, if we're ever going to get to heaven, we must look beyond the view of right now if we're planning on getting there. Come on, somebody. Abraham, when we think about Abraham, the Bible said he sojourned into the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. When I look beyond the view of now, and I wish I had about 500 to talk to right now. When I look beyond the view right now, our world, our town, our city, our families, our churches are so limited because we are looking right now only what we see around us. The question that came to me this evening is simply this. I wonder what we would do as a church. I wonder what we would do as a people if we really had heaven's view. I really wonder what we would be doing if we somehow right now could somehow grasp what God was saying to us and really do what God had called us to do as a church. Now, you may not feel like I feel as a pastor, but my friend, I look around today and I do see weary people. I see people that are weary. I see people that are struggling. I see people that are doing the very best they can. But also in the same regard, I wonder in my own mind sometimes, if we couldn't do better for God while we yet have the time to do that. Could we not do better for the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords? We confess so many things with our mouth. We say we believe so many things, but yet our faith is so little. And I'll get into that in a minute. And we see this in the scripture. Abraham, the Bible said that he acted by faith to do the things that God told him to do. When God called Abraham, no doubt in my mind, his life was filled with all sorts of what appeared to be impossibilities. Those things that are impossible that God told Abraham to do. First of all, he told him to leave and to go and to do something that he never knew what to do or how to do or how it was going to work out. But the Bible said that he began to do what God told him to do. He walked and he went into a strange land. You know most of the story of the life of Abraham. So when I get through this about 9 o'clock, you'll understand this whole timeline of events where I'm going with this. So the first thing, Abraham used his faith. Abraham used something that was beyond his current view, his current situation, his current life in order to do what God called him to do. Here's the thing. This is how I feel. If we're going to really do what God has called us to do, follow me through this. We have got to be a church that operates, listen close, beyond what we can see. And the reason I say that, because the flesh is always going to give you a lot of reasons why you cannot be obedient unto God. The flesh will always tell you things that you do not need to do because you can't do that. Okay? So Abraham, first of all, he understood that God was calling him. You've got to have a clarion call. You've got to be clear in what God is saying. Now, let me move through this carefully this evening. When we look at this, we got to understand that by faith, if we look through the natural eye, we will be limited in what we're able to do for God because the natural eye can only see so far. Now stay with me. How far can the natural eye see? I got medical people in the building that ought to be able to jump up and give them a pop quiz and they can tell me that. Penny, Brother Dean, Dr. Dean, Steve, whoever The natural eye, technically, from my study, your study might be different, depends on who you're reading from. Penny, about 12 miles, roughly, give or take. Depends on the dust in the air, depends on the particles in the air, depends on the not on a clear day. But there was one guy, he done a study, and this is the natural eye. He done a study, and I don't know how they done it. Don't ask me. I'm just reading and retaining and understanding and trying to get a point across. That on a dark night, a clear dark night, they put a flicker of a candle, and the natural eye was able to see a remarkable 30 miles away. I wonder sometimes when I look up into the sky and I've got those big binoculars I was talking about, sometimes I can see the color on the bottom of a jet when it goes over. I can't, no way I can tell you how high or how low it actually is when it's up in the sky. But I said that to say this, that if we're going to serve God and if we're going to live for God, watch this. This is not a trick question, I promise. Our natural eye, no matter how good our eyes are, our natural eye still has a limitation. Our natural eye is still limited to what it is able to do and what we can actually see with our natural eye. So when I think about our natural eye as it pertains to spiritual things, I think about the faith that it took for Abraham to be able to do what Abraham did. Abraham, no doubt in my mind, couldn't understand it in his natural eye. In Abraham's mind, even, he was probably not able to really get a grasp of what God was doing. But the Bible said it was by faith. And this is another one of them things that maybe your pastor struggles with from time to time. Because I'm a pastor, because I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader of the house, and I struggle sometimes understanding or getting a hold of how are we in the faith community leading and walking and doing things by faith when everything that you and I do technically is supposed to be done by faith. Are we okay? This is a walk of faith. And we've got to understand, well, what is it that faith is? What defines faith? In a couple of different dictionaries and different ways that this is coming about, the dictionary defines faith like this. Now, this is not the Vines, okay? I look at Vines dictionary a lot. This is not Vines. This is just a generic dictionary. And it said that it defines faith like this. It defines it as belief in, okay? It defines it as putting your belief in something. But it also says it's devotion to or trust in. Okay, it goes on to say somebody or something without any logical proof. But to us, you and I, somebody says, well, we do have proof, and we do have a lot of proof as far as who Jesus is and what Jesus said. I remember reading about Thomas. I didn't look Thomas up for this, but I did think about Thomas coming to church because Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until you show me the nail prints in your hands and let me see your side. Let me inspect you, Jesus. He wanted to see, in two ways I look at that. He wanted to see and make sure it was him. But number two, he I don't know if he had the faith to really believe that it was Jesus that came forth out of the tomb. If you and I truly did, watch this, believe that Jesus came out of the tomb, and we would look beyond the view of right here and right now, we should have absolutely no problem, none whatsoever, in putting our faith in he who has never failed. Well, our faith ought to be remarkable, and I'm preaching to me tonight too. Our faith ought to be remarkable. Our faith, my friend, will be tested. It will be challenged. Abraham's faith was tested. It was challenged. Even when he was told that he would have a son by the name of Isaac. Really? Who are you talking to? Hey, come here, Hagar. Let's work this out. True faith, you don't have to manipulate and work it out. God's got a plan. When we think about this, we think about faith as far as putting our trust and our belief in as a Christian in the one true and living God. Faith enables us to see through God what ordinary people would not be able to see. When we think about faith, it's a faith, if you will, that brings pleasure to God. It is a faith that pleases God. When we look in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible teaches us again that without faith it is impossible to please him. But it is our faith that pleases God. Don't you love it when your children do what you ask them to do? Hello, somebody. You grandmothers and grandpas and moms and dads, don't it just thrill your heart when you say, hey, little Johnny, go take the trash out. And there goes in little pitter-patter feet right over at the trash can, jerks it out and goes, it pleases you. And when we do what God has called us to do, and again, I'm just preaching, and I believe some of the stuff that's been in my own heart, we can make all kinds of excuses why not to please God. We can make all kinds of excuses why not to use our faith and to believe what God has already said in his word. Been there, done that. If I was collecting t-shirts, I'd have a stack. Abraham, again, we see that, but he says in Hebrews 11 and 6, but he says, but without faith, everybody's been given the measure of faith, according to Romans chapter 12, I believe it is, the measure of faith. Somebody says, how much is the measure of faith? I have no idea, but it's enough to move a mountain. Not in the essence of the physical part of that. Somebody says, oh yeah, that's what it says. But I've read different things and all that. But I believe God can move mountains. Hello, somebody. Whatever it is that you're dealing with tonight, whatever it is you're struggling with tonight, I believe if you'll get beyond that thing and look at God, get your eyes off of that thing and get your eyes on God. Come on, somebody. I believe that God will do exactly what God says he will do. I believe that. But we've got to look beyond. The Bible says these things that we're dealing with right now are temporal, but the things that are of God are eternal. When we look in the scripture again, we see this in a variety of different places. Verse 6 says that it's faith that pleases God. And for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Talks about Noah. Talks about the different ones. It talks about Abel. It talks about Sarah. Talks about Rahab. We all see that in the scripture. Talks about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. All the way through there. It talks about faith. Everything that they did, it is accredited to their faith. Let me ask you this evening, how is your view? Your view of God through your faith. Amen? When we look at the scripture again, we see this in 1 Peter. And if y'all want to turn there, it's fine, because I got to take a second and do that too. 1 Peter chapter 1, we see this in verse number 7, if you will. Verse 7 talks about the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. Anybody ever had a trial where your faith is put to the test? And if you were in a court of law, this might be a different view of it, but if you were put on the stand and your faith was put as a testimony against you, would you have enough faith in your life to be convicted of having faith? The trial of your faith. I thought about that like that. The trial of your faith. He says, your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. All of these died in the faith. They continued to believe God even to the very, very end. How many loved ones have we seen go to the grave, and how many loved ones have we buried through life? But yet we celebrate this evening because they had faith. Had faith, and they knew without shadow of a doubt. Verse number 8, here it goes on and it talks about this. It says, in whom having not seen, you love. The faith that you and I have that goes beyond the view of now is a faith, my friend, that will keep us loving Him through the trial. It'll keep us loving Him through the storm. There is not a person in this room that's been exempt from the storm, myself included. But my friend, as the song says, we've got to put our hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. We've got to put our hand in the hand of the man that calmed the sea. You might be here tonight going through things. I don't know that, but my friend, get your eyes focused one more time on Jesus and looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. In whom, having not seen, you love. We've not seen Him face to face. Hello, somebody. We only know Him by the power of the Holy Ghost. But in whom, though we see Him not, yet believe, the Bible said, believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Again, let me reiterate and back up just a second that the believing church, the faithful church, the church that's filled with faith. This verse ought to be for you and I this evening. We have not seen Him as of yet, but yet we still love Him. How many of you love the Lord tonight? Give Him an ovation of praise as a sign of your love for Him. Love Him. Oh, my friend, the devil's always going to throw circumstances up at you. Somebody the other day, and somebody may know this individual and know the situation, but yet there's none of us in this room that'll ever, ever, ever escape the attack of the devil. Somebody told me the other day, said the devil's been messing with me all week long. Some of you may know this person, but I'm not going to go into that. And I told this person, I said, listen, listen, listen. You've got to listen to me. And I looked this person in the eye and I got their attention. I said, I learned a long time ago by a brother, an elder man. He was 80-something year old, even in that day or close to it. He taught me way back in the day, how to overcome the devil. Anybody in the room want to learn how to overcome the devil tonight? Anybody? Amen. There's a few of you that's willing to do this. This is what the Word says. You don't have to go there. But it says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Somebody said the devil's been riding my back all week long. Take the saddle off your back. Quit giving him a place to ride. Quit giving him a place to lodge. I went on to tell this person that this man's wife told me this a different verse. And Sherry knows who Brother Sister Birchfield is. I've done both of their funerals. And I said, this dear saint of God, this sister of God, taught me this when I was but a young lad preaching and getting started in the church. For God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. Somebody needs to close the door on the junk that's in your trunk, if you will. You need to shut the door on the junk that the devil's putting in your mind and trying to torment you in your mind. And he will. But somebody just needs to tell the devil to shut up. I know these parents say, don't say that word in church. Some kids think that's a bad word. No, you tell the devil, not your parents, not your brother, your sister, your auntie, or your uncle, or your grandpa. You tell the devil, devil, leave me alone. Get away from me. Hello, somebody. We just get so stuck. But he says here in the word, in whom having not seen, yet you love. It's through your faith that you learn to love God. Whom though we now we see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, then we're going to move forward real fast. Verse 9 says, receiving the end. Receiving the end. We're not there yet. Receiving the end of your faith. Even the salvation of your souls. Salvation of your souls. Salvation of your souls is by faith. It's more than just believing. You've got to have a concrete faith that you, Ephesians 2 and 8, we see this in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. We see this in a concrete scripture that teaches us that we've got to have our faith in God. Not by what we see. Not by circumstances. Everybody in this room, if we looked at everything that's going on in our world today, my friend, we would all probably have a nervous breakdown by in the morning. This world ain't my home. Told somebody the other day, I wasn't being a smart aleck. I try not to ever be that way. Sherry knows what I'm talking about. I told this person the other day that was putting some pressure on me about some stuff, money and finances and doing bills and all. You know how it is. Some of y'all don't even have bills. God bless you. I do. But I told this person, she knows it. I said, I ain't worried about it. Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked I shall go. I ain't worried about it. Brother Russell, I said, hey, they can't eat you.
That's right.
They can't murder you.
That's right.
Put you in jail, they got to feed you.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know. They might be watching now. I don't know. Just do the best you can. Don't let these circumstances, this temporary, really whole rob us of our faith. Because faith is all we got. For by grace are you saved through faith. It matters about our faith. It matters about where we're putting our trust. It matters about where we're putting our confidence. And somebody says, well, I believe. The world believes. Hello? If you look in the scripture, I'll give it to you for those that's writing notes. Verse 9, let me read verse 9 first. He says in verse number 9, he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'll get into that. I didn't realize I was going to preach so long tonight, Janet. I'm sorry. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach long. Y'all know me. So again, when you look in the scripture, we see this of where that James 2 and 19 talks about this. Now, you got to follow me through this for just a few more minutes. Somebody says, well, I believe in Jesus. Thou believest that there is one God and doest well. Devils also believe and tremble. But do we really put our faith in him? There was an analogy that was actually given as I was reading through this and actually processing it into my own heart and mind. Somebody says, there's a difference between what you believe and what you do. There's a difference between your what you believe and your faith. Because today so many say, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But yet they're making no effort in putting their trust and putting their faith in Him. Now there's a chair right here. Sherry asked me what this chair was for. I said, I'm going to do something tonight that's going to be remarkable. That might not have been my exact words. But I was reading this commentary and different things, and it said, faith is like a chair. I told Sherry, I said, I'm going to stand on my head in that chair tonight because I believe I can do it. Now, faith would tell me not to do that. So let me do it the way the commentary said it, the way that I studied it. I just messing with her. So here's the way it said it in commentary. It said, faith is like a chair. I believe the chair can hold me up. Okay, I believe that all day long. I believe in heaven all day long. But it's not faith until I do something about it. How many of y'all believe that chair will hold me up? Me. I believe that chair will hold me up. I believe it all day long. But until it's tested, until I put my faith in it. See, James says, again, the scripture up here says in verse 9, says faith without works is dead. And then so I choose to exercise my faith. I believe this chair will hold me up. So by faith, I come over here and I sit in the chair. And lo and behold, those things that had not yet been proven prove to be so. Evidence of things not seen. So it's putting my trust in God, even though I've not yet seen God, I know in my heart that God is real. And I will not know, Brother Chris, the true faction of all that I've ever done on this side of glory until we get there. Amen? I've told you before and I'll tell you again and I'll keep repeating myself over and over and over till I die. I don't understand a lot. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk. But I determined a long time ago I wasn't going to eat dry cereal because I didn't understand it. CJ back there in the booth and some of you men around here that Roger and some of these other guys that understand electricity, Brother Russell, I don't understand it, don't get it, can't see it, afraid to touch wires, afraid of getting shocked, I ain't going to do it. I let them do it. They got these little probes and these testers, and they'll say, yeah, that one's hot right there. I don't even know how to use the tester. They said, I thought you was a maintenance man. I ain't no maintenance man, I'm a preacher. I had to tell somebody the other day that they were criticizing and running their mouth about contractors. No contractors. Nobody wants to work. I looked at them, and I Bobby knows who this person is. I said, I'm glad I'm not a contractor. Ain't no contractor. I'm a preacher. You want to talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, Acts, Genesis? I mean, we'll talk, but I can't tell you all that stuff. But just because I don't understand electricity, Sister Betty, I'm not going to sit around in the dark. I got enough faith, Abby, to believe that if I go turn the switch on, then I'm going to have lights. I know that's very simplistic, but I've got to look beyond what I see right now if we're really going to be able to please God moving forward in the future. Faith is more than what I say. Faith, as the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, we all know this scripture very, very well, that simply says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now this is going to backpedal for just a minute, and I'm going to turn to the rest of this, and I've got way more than I ever thought I would be able to get to this evening. But it's been able to operate by faith and do the things that God has called us to do. Now here's something to ponder on. Because I believe God put it in my heart to preach this, and I believe that God put these questions in my own heart. And the question that's before me is simply this: what does the future of the Thomasville Church of God look like without faith? What do we look like as a body of believers without faith? For we walk by faith, not by sight. But so many times we want to see it, don't we? Once we see it, then we'll believe it. Somebody says, show it to me and I'll believe it. Until then, I ain't believing it. But see, I'm going to turn that around to us. What does the future of Thomasville Church of God look like? By faith. What is it that God is speaking to us? Because the Bible says that without God, you cannot please God. But yet the Bible says that all things are possible to them that believe. And if we chime in on what God is doing, faith again and vision are two different things, because vision, the way I understand vision, is seeing what God is saying, but faith is acting on what God is saying. We've got to do it. We've got to process it. And for those of you that's taking notes, I've really got to buzz through this really, really fast. The greatest story that I could get into and the greatest thing I could get into to show you some of the elements of this is found in the book of Genesis, the book of Numbers, way back in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to take the time to go through all of it. But there's certain elements here that really spoke to my heart, certain things that we've talked about before and we've seen before. It was time when God spoke to Moses and he told the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 13 and 2 to go out and search the land. I'm not going to be but about 5 more minutes, because this grouping of scripture is long and it's lengthy, and I'm not going to go through all of it. But God told them to go out and search the land. If you go through all of that, and he says the land of Canaan, and he says which I give unto the children of Israel. And then it mentions the tribes, and the tribes is actually mentioned here in the scripture. If you go all the way through this, and it mentions Simeon and Reuben and Judah, Issachar, Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Joseph, and then Manasseh and Dan and Asher, and then Naphtali and Gad. It mentions all of those guys. In verse 17, and it said, for you to go up and spy the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you this way southward and go up to the mountains. Verse number 18, he says these words. Now this right here got a hold of my heart, because God was calling them, watch this, to be able to have a vision beyond what humanity was able, what in their humanity they were able to see. God was calling them to go and search the land. Go see this land. I wonder sometimes what God is calling for us to see. To look beyond the state of right now and the state of everywhere you go, inflation, oh my goodness, it is going up, and it is, and I'm not making light of that. It hits the preacher just like it hits the pew. Come on, somebody. Somebody says gas. Somebody says food, and it is. And all around us, there seems to be this influx of stress and worry and anxiety and all these things that goes on. I've heard two different conversations this week say the same words to me. And neither one of them knew that they talked to me about the same thing, because it's pretty practical that they said this. First of all, they said, we don't know what we're going to do and how people that are on a fixed income are going to live and buy food if things keep going the way that it's going. Here's the thing I'm going to tell you. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You and I, we have to not worry. We have to plan. We can't do something silly. We have to think about this stuff. But yet, my friend, if God knows how to take care of a lily in the field, if God knows how to take care of a sparrow, and if God knows how to take care of foxes, and Jesus even told us, the Son of God hath not place to lay his head, and I take care of every bit of these. God, by faith, is going to take care of you, and God, by faith, is going to take care of me. Go spy the land. Go see what's over there. Long story short, through all of this, you know the story. But yet there's several things in there in the Bible again from verse 18. He said, go see if they're strong or weak. And then he said in verse 20, be of good courage. He said, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now is the time of the first grapes. Then you go over and They went by the brook and they cut down a branch of one cluster of grapes. You see that in verse 23. And it said, and they brought it back. And he said, they bare it between two upon staff and brought the pomegranates and the figs. It was a land of plenty. It was a land that God had shown them that God was sending them to a good place, a goodly place. And that God had went to prepare a place in front of them. But there was challenges. We, you, us, none. We're never going to get through life without challenges. But we've got to look beyond what we can see right here with our natural eye. And I'm not denying the economy. I'm not denying the things that I know we need to pay attention to. Please don't misunderstand my heart. But we've got to keep our eyes fixed on Him. And we've got to know where our bread comes from and our butter. Come on, somebody. We've got to know, you know, who's taking care of us. And we, you say, well, I believe God for salvation, but the rest of this stuff, I don't know, preacher. I've had a rough life. I understand that. I'm not going to argue with people about it. I'm not going to do all that. I'm not going to get into that conversation. But it's the same God that takes care of you that takes care of your neighbor. Now, let me wrap this up here in just a few minutes. Because I said a few minutes, and I'm going to try some of your clock watchers. You can't fool me. If you look through the rest of this, I'll paraphrase it. They went. They saw the giants. Oh, good land. Giants in the land. Problems in the land. We can't do that, preacher, because we've never done that before. Well, we tried that before, preacher, and no use in doing it again. We done tried that. You know where I'm going. We've tried all those things. Let's try it again. Let's do it again. Let's get up. Let's try it again. You know, the Bible said they brought back an evil report. Now, don't get mad at the preacher. I'm almost closed. All it takes is one person getting an evil report. And it'll destroy your faith and everybody's faith that bad report touches. But I like Caleb, Russell. He says in the latter part, I can't remember exactly which verse it was, but Caleb had a different spirit. He had one of those let me at them spirits. Just give me the opportunity. And we'll see God move and we'll see what God's up to. Caleb, again, he said there in the scripture that Caleb, on down, it's over around 30-something, around through there. He said, Caleb had another spirit. He had a different spirit because he had a mindset to walk by faith and not just by what he saw. Hey, if you and I are ever going to have anything, spiritually speaking, you're going to have to go hard after it. Again, I didn't even get into the book of James. James is a whole different animal, whole different setting of scriptures. Because James teaches us that it's not of works lest any man should boast in Ephesians. But James says, again, he talks about that where James is talking about, show me your works and I'll show you my faith. And then he says, without works, faith is dead. In other words, faith is the legs that your work stands on, or your works that your faith stands on. If God says do it in the word, we've got to have enough faith to go forward and do what God's called us to do. There's probably a variety of different things I could get into. But my main focus was this evening was simply this. That last verse in our text that we talked about, and we see through this thing, the temporary. Don't let the temporary view stop your eternal view. Keep your eyes on God. Amen. Keep your eyes focused on Him. I went over 2 minutes, so you can dock my pay 2 minutes. This week. Woo! I'd love to preach another hour. I didn't even feel good when I came. I was tired. It's amazing how good you get to feel when you get in God's presence. Amen. Beyond the view. Keep your eyes on Him. Stand with me. I hope this helped somebody. I hope it challenged you tonight. I hope it rekindled something in your heart. And I hope you think to yourself, you know, I've had a pretty carnal view of God here lately. I've had a pretty limited view of God lately. And God, I want heaven's view of you. The God that can do the impossible. Read Hebrews 11. And it said they all did. They all died in the faith, believing that God was going to do this. And God did do it. It took some time, but God did. Amen. Hey, we're not there yet. How many people in this church that you know and I know have already died in the faith? They've gone on to glory. And you know what? We're still pressing on. And we cannot quit now. So, Father, we thank you, God, for this word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the time that you've given us, God, Lord Jesus, to refocus on you. And God, to get our eyes off of these things in this whole world that's temporal. Because this temporal, Lord, will always fail us and always let us down. This temporal, Lord, will rob us of your goodness and the opportunities we have in you. Father, anoint this church afresh. Father, I pray that you would give us heaven's view of all that we endeavor to do. Let us inquire of heaven. Let us see what heaven says about it. Let us see what God says about it. Holy Ghost, spark every heart, spark every life. Let us keep our eyes on you. And God, we're going to thank you in advance. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me just mention this really